Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast today. I got a good sermon for you, and I live by this every day of my life. Failure is not an option. Are you ready to put your faith to work? In order to create a successful future, you have to let go of the past. That's a fact. So let's go right now into this wonderful message entitled, Failure is Not an Option. Get a pencil and paper, take some notes. It's time to quit failing. About 30 years ago, maybe 35, I preached a sermon on how not to fail in life. About maybe 28 years ago, I preached on making no provisions for failure. You may have had a copy of that. It would have to have been on cassette tape or maybe 8-track. I don't know, cassette, whatever it is. I don't know. That's a long time ago, okay? As I begin to grow in the Lord and as I begin to understand divine revelation, you know, I had a man, let me just stop there for a minute. A man asked me one time, do you still believe in divine healing, divine health, and divine life? I said, stronger today than I've ever had in my life. Amen. Ever. I mean, that doesn't mean the devil hadn't attacked my body, hadn't done it. But every time he does, divine health comes up in my mind. Divine life comes up in my mind. Divine healing comes up in my mind. Because I'm growing older, not in the Lord, in a way that God loves. So he can give me revelation upon revelation. Well, like I said, years ago, I preached on make no provision for failure, which meant there was a door there that you could fail. I preached another sermon, how not to fail in life, many, many years ago, which meant that you're going to fail, so I'm going to help you not how. Today, I want to take you beyond failure. I want to set the agenda that failure is never an option. And if it's never an option, then you never will. I have to define what failure is. Failure is not falling in the mud. Micah chapter 7 says, when I fall, I shall arise. See, people think failure is falling. No, failure is laying in the mud. Failure is staying what you are. Staying where you are or where Satan has done. Get up, knock the mud off because you didn't fail. Failure is when you do nothing. Yes. Nothing. When you're not willing that walk by faith and not by sight. I had a minister and his wife one time told me, he said, you know, we love the Lord all our life. And I'm a preacher, but how come I've never been able to go full time and stay full time? Because they expected failure. They expected low offerings. They expected they would never grow. I had a Jewish rabbi came here and walked around this ministry. And he was amazed. And I'll never forget what he said. There's no Jewish minister I know that's doing this. I said, well, it came from a Jew. And his name was Jesus. And he just looked at me and smiled. I said, you didn't know Jesus was Jewish? What's the matter? You don't like your own people? And he still is Jewish. Just thought I'd tell every Gentile in here. See, but I want to deal with going to a level. And I asked the Lord. He said, Jesse, you want to come up where I'm at? I said, yeah, where are you? Isaiah chapter 65, 24. You don't have to turn to it. Just listen to me. This is my preamble to this message. He says, before you ask, I will answer. In other words, before anything comes up, you have all the ability to do what he's going to tell you and you don't even know what it is yet. Whether it be spiritual, whether it be physical, whether it be financial. Nothing wrong with raising money. I have raised money for TBN, Daystar, God TV, many, many ministries, over $100 million. I'm not bragging about that. God has been so good. I had one lady tell me, I'll never forget, Jan Crouch told me, she said, you just raised $1 million this minute. This is many years ago. I said, bless God. She said, go back out there. I said, okay. Now, that was many years ago. My point was simply this, doing those telethons. I believe in that, and I will always do that. But there'll come a point that I will have the finance so complete before I have the project. Amen. It's the same way with you. If you notice something about Jesus, when he wanted to do something, you never heard him say, now, Lord, we need to go to Capernaum, and the bag is low. Never did say that, did he? He never said, well, I'm going to pray for you, but you know how my father is. Sometimes he does, and sometimes he don't. Don't that sound churchy? See, making provisions for failure. Jesus did not have failure as an option.
Then the Bible says, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. So we're going to deal with that. Go with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. I have preached on this passage many times. I'm going to use it as my foundation. 2 Kings is right past 1 Kings. What kind of a Bible this is here? Let's see what this translation. I get more Bibles given. This is the New King James Version. Okay, right here. 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to start reading with verse 1. Many of you know this story, but we're going to deal with this, and I'm going to read it. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord or respected the Lord. And the creditor has come to take my two sons to be his slaves. This man left his wife in debt, which is an option for failure. Because I've learned something about debtors. They don't care what they got to do to get that money. They'll sell your children if they can. You can sign a mortgage for 30 years on a house and be in it 29 years and 6 months and get sick. And if you don't pay that last, if you miss three notes, they'll take that house away from you. And they've made three times the amount of money on that house. Many people know what I'm talking about. That's why I say, owe no man anything but to love him. Yes. Why? So they can't use that against you. Verse 2. So Elisha said to her, now I want you to watch this. What shall I do for you? Now here's a preacher saying, well, hey, man, you know, things are tough. We don't know what we're going to do. He says, what do you want? Watch this. What do you want me to do for you? Which means to me, he's got the ability to do anything she asks. Yes. He don't know what she asks. He don't know what she's going to say. What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? See, failure is not his option. He's not saying that, my God, man. Oh, ain't no telling what that woman going to ask for. That's not in his mind. He's acting like God. Option of failure is not present. He said, what shall I do for you? Then he says this, tell me, what do you have in the house? Uh-oh, something very important. Everybody's got something in the house. You may not think it's worth anything, but to God, it's the very crux of what you need, desire, and want. Watch this. Tell me what you have in the house. She said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Now, that's an oxymoron. She said she didn't have nothing. Then she says she has a jar of oil. That's emotional language. See, she doesn't realize what she has. And many people do not realize what they have. Because they don't think it's much. It's not you what you think. It's what God asks. Watch this. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Uh-oh. So there's three things he said there. He first said, what do you want? What shall I do for you? What do you have in the house? And borrow not a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you. Why? Because neighbors and people that don't understand revelation is going to cause you problems. So shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. In other words, they don't need to see how much I'm going to bless you. Because they're going to be saying you're going to be running out in the next 35 seconds. You ain't going to have a drop. What you got all these empty pots for? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. You can't be debt free. How you going to buy a car? How you going to buy a house? Don't that sound churchy? The reason why banks are established is because of us. What I don't understand is the savers. You done lost your ever-loving mind? The whole system runs on your money. Yes. And they're paying you 0.25%. Yes. When are the savers going to wake up and say, wait a minute. You charging everybody this and that? If you want to use my money, this is what you pay me. Lord Jesus. Trump would be twittering real quick. So would Obama and everybody else. Son, it would be the most amazing thing. All financial institutions would shake and shudder because you realize what you had. Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass. That's my favorite verse in the Bible. Lord Jesus, I love that. It came to pass. When the vessels were full. How full were they? Full. How full were they? Full. Let's just barely get by. No, full. She said to her son, women get excited when things get full. It's shopping time. That's why they take so long to pick a purse, because they may take them all. Now it's shopping time, Lord Jesus. You notice she wasn't worried about climate change on the oil. Just thought I'd throw that in there for any reason. I don't know. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. Get me something. And he said to her, there's not another vessel. There's no more. So the oil ceased or stopped. Why? God doesn't waste. He's not a waster. He is a great business God. Watch this. Then she came and told the man of God. What kind of man was he? What kind of man was he? What kind of man am I? What kind of man am I? What kind of man am I? You listen to me. Most preachers ain't got enough guts to say that, because it has nothing to do with ego. This is the anointing talking to you. This is setting an agenda for your life. This is taking you where you've never gone before. Go where no man has gone before. Live long, prosper. I'm going to prove it right now. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil. Pay your debt. He didn't say claim bankruptcy. Lost a few. Pay your debt. You borrowed the money. And you, and your sons. Generational blessing now. This ain't just for you. This is for your children's children. Three generations. You and your sons live on the rest. Why? Because the rest is not going to run out. When you at rest, that's about as good as it gets. Now that's the passage and the foundation. Write this down. The point one, get the option of failure out of your mind and out of your mouth. Get the option of failure out of your mind and out of your mouth. Get it out, because it will destroy you. You will never grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Jesus did it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, my God, if this cup can pass from me. In other words, and then he realized, I can't, this provision of failure. He said, not my will. He crushes failure right there. Not my will, but thine be done. And from then on, buddy, he goes forward and becomes the King of Kings, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, and the bright morning star. Who care about the cross? Who cares about hell? Because I'm coming out. The first thing he did was led the captivity free. Who was the captivity? They were the God people in Abraham's bosom. See, you can be in church all your life and be in captivity. It's happening right now all over the world. People going to church, love the Lord with all their heart, in captivity to spiritual, physical, and financial things. Jesus led the captivity. Where did he lead them to? He led them to heaven. Abraham's bosom is nice, but that's not where you're supposed to be. See, it's a higher level. We're not even going to ever even think about failure as an option. So get the option of failure out of your mind and out of your mouth. Write this down. Be fearless in going to God with an open heart. Be fearless in going to God with an open heart, a clear conscience, and a great expectation. My God, an open heart, a clear conscience, and a great expectation. I never forget, many, many years ago, I had to leave Kathy. And when she was 9 months pregnant, to go play a gig. We called them a gig in those days, Jackson, Mississippi. I said, oh, Lord, I thought, boy, I didn't want to do that, but I had to. I had to make a living. And I said, you're going to be all right. And she looked ready to pop. She looked at it. She had swallowed a beach ball. She was 95 pounds when I married her. And at full pregnancy, she got up to 115. My leg is 115 pounds right now. My God. I thought, oh, no. Oh, she can't have that baby without me. Like I said, what could I do? I'm the one caused it. I tried to stop the pregnancy. I tried to keep her on birth control pills. But see, when you get drunk, you do stupid things. She said, Jess, I want a baby. I tore away them pills. Friday night. Monday morning, I was at the drugstore. We need the pills back. And the Lord went, I was caught. Be fearless in going to God with an open heart, a clear conscience, and a great expectation. Brother, was she expecting? She was expecting. A gift was coming. The best gift I ever had in my life. My Lord. Then that gift gave me a gift. See, gifts give gifts. They're generational. Stir it up, people, make noise. Write it down. Stir it up, people, make noise, and noise will get attention. See, failure is not an option. You got to make some noise. People love it when they had a football game and the fans are just going slap crazy. What is it, the Seattle Seahawks? They're known as the loudest fans in the NFL. You can't hear yourself think. Why? They want to confuse the person that's against playing against the Hawks. Notice how quiet they get when the Seahawks have the ball. Now, Saints is totally different. They loud with the Saints and without the Saints. They don't care. They didn't care. They just mad about something. They don't care if you're winning or losing. They're jumping on the Saints. Fire them coaches. What other team would come up with bags to put on their head? What other fans would do that? Even the owner wanted to move the Saints. And the fans got so loud, he stopped. Why? Because there'd be death in San Antonio if you touched that team. We are the only ones that can curse them. Don't shout me down. Look at the Saint fans. Yes. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Stir it up, people. Make noise. And noise will get attention. You will never impoverish God. I'm dealing with failure, not an option. You will never impoverish God. Quit believing that barely get by stuff. Kathy goes to the store now. And when she goes shopping, I'm not sitting there going, oh, Jesus, we love you. Oh, Lord, no, man, go get what you want. And she does. Jody said it was so funny. I may have told y'all this. Right before Kristen bought, Kathy got a cooking spirit came upon her. It was of the Lord. Because it only comes once a year. It was like the rapture of the church. God, my God, look at it. She said, I think I'm going to make a gumbo. Whoa, come on, girl, make a gumbo. Then she said, I'm going to Renee's and make her a gumbo. Go, man. My Lord, Jesus. It was wonderful. I enjoyed it. I wanted to film it. But she wouldn't let me. Jody called me and said, Dad, what can I get for Mama? I said, boy, she's cooking. She's cooking gumbo. She said, Dad, it ain't going to last. Jody prophesied and it came to pass. You will never impoverish God. Quit believing that barely get by stuff. You see, borrowing not a few. Oh, but you can't do that. You're not doing it. You're just obeying it. Write that down. You see, you're not doing it. This God's going to do this. You just obey what he says. Failure is not an option. I saw a woman the other day that I believe is for somebody in this church. Lord. I ain't gonna say who it is. Care about looking. You can see single men. I hope it's me, Jesus. I think. We'll see. I looked at her and said, do you believe I'm a man of God? Because if the Lord let me, I'm going to prophesy to her about someone. But that's all I can tell you. Oh, you will never impoverish God. Quit believing that barely get by stuff. That's why I believe the unbelievable receive the impossible, because it's doable. Now, I'm going to shock you when I say this. Hang on. I can not fail. What are you clapping for? Why don't you say it? We can not fail. Say it again. We can not fail. Say it till you believe it.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to declare that over yourself? Go on, say it. I cannot fail. Go ahead, say it. I'm going to wait for you. Did you say it? I cannot fail. Maybe you're thinking, but Brother Jesse, what if I've already did fail? Get up. Shake the dust off your feet. That's not failure. See, a failure is the one that lives in the mud. Get up, wash off, and start walking again. That's what it's all about. Now, listen to this. Now, how do you get back to that road to success? Because that's the key to that. Three words: with fearless faith. Go to God with fearless faith, with an open heart, a clear conscience, and with great expectation. Well, maybe things haven't been working out for you lately. I understand that. But you know what? The Bible said if two of us agree. Well, I'm going to pray for you right now. And if you agree with me and I agree with you, failure shuts down. Father, in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare the word of the living God that these people cannot and will not fail no more. It's over with, because you've already paid the price. Lord, there's just nothing but a great blessing waiting for them. All they got to do is receive it. Father, I set myself in agreement with them right now in the mighty name of Jesus, whose I am and whose I serve. Oh, man, I get excited when I start praying for you, because I realize something. Failure is not an option. Don't take it. You know, but you people say, yeah, but we're in this life. Change what you see. How do you do that? Words. How'd you get married? Words. Got to say something, right? Words. Say to the mountain. Don't climb it. Say to it. Talk to it. Don't be a mountain climber. Be a mountain dissolver. Am I starting to preach again? I can't help myself. See, I don't want you to fail no more. Stay right there. I'll be back in just a moment to speak another word to you, show you some exciting things going on here at Jesse the Planet's Ministries. Watch this. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no, there's not. In my book, Give God a Job, you will discover that our magnificent God is ready and able to fulfill every promise that He has for you. It's time to ask in faith and start living on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, if you keep God busy, He will keep you busy. Order your copy of my book, Give God a Job, today at jdm.org. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this book, Give God a Job, this is the book I never intended to write. I'm telling you, I just started writing and, man, it just began to come out. My God, it's our October product offer, and it's going to challenge you to reach higher, stretch further with your faith. How do I get this? Go to jdm.org and get your copy today. It will bless you and minister greatly to you. Partners, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's all I can say. I wish it was another word. Your faithful financial support has been so wonderful. 48 years of preaching this glorious gospel. Never had a financial deficit. It's amazing. Why? Because you obey the Lord with your faithful financial partnership. I obey the Lord. I am a partner to this ministry too. Me and Kathy give graciously to this ministry. Why? Because we believe in it. God believes in it, and you believe in it. So thank you for helping me reach people, change lives, just one soul at a time. You know, I don't mean this to sound prideful. This is a global ministry. It goes all over the world. My God. You know, you're watching this right now, just on social media and other things. We've had over 74 million people contact us with views and everything you can think of. Why? Because we reach people. I've asked the Lord for every dollar given in my ministry. Give me a soul into the kingdom of God. I'm doing this business. When are you going to retire? Don't think like a... I don't see it in my DNA. I'm still very healthy. I run like a gazelle. I'm 75 years old. Look at this. Ain't that something? Glory to God. I'm telling you one thing. But that's okay. I am preaching this glorious gospel. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. Thank you, partner, for supporting us today. Nothing too small, nothing too big. We got a $20 million donor coming. We've had multi-million dollar donors, ladies and gentlemen. I mean that. But I tell you what, we do what we say. 100% goes into world evangelism. We're debt free. God is so good. Don't miss next week. Part two of Failure is Not an Option.
This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
We have a classic message for our October partner offer. It's entitled, Water Walking Disciples. You were created to do the impossible, to attempt the impossible task that will bring impossible results. Your destination isn't to ride out the storm. Learn how to develop the water walking faith that God gives you. You can step out the boat and walk toward Jesus. Get your copy today at jdm.org now.
You can broadcast the wonderful works of God right where you are. We have been entrusted to see to it that this message gets communicated to everyone everywhere. You could be the one that changes somebody's life. You may not change thousands, but if you change one, that's all that counts.
Kathy Duplantis's Glorious, A Conference for Women, March 7th and 8th, 2025.
See, the world needs people who believe. You must aim to be what God has made you. The head and not the tail, above and not beneath. That's what he's telling this woman. Come on, girl. Borrow not a few. Get as many as you get your hands on. Aim for more than enough. Not just barely getting by.